Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. If you cannot listen live, you can go to the podcast, www.blogtalkradio.com. Just punch in the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business, and you'll get every single show that we have ever done. And, of course, it is Gregory Crawford, me, of course. I almost forgot my name there. Boy, that proves I'm getting old. But no. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can, at WC Hoops. But it is the first Tuesday of the month, and that is always a very special time for me because that means that we're going to bring on Justin Lunt, the head men's basketball coach at Puget Sound, one of our great guests. Always get a lot of positive comments about you, Justin. So thanks for being on, and we do this, as I said, every first Tuesday of the month, and I love talking to you about basketball, life, and beyond. How are you?
I'm doing great, Craig. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. And I was going to ask you that when we left you the last time, you kind of teased us saying you were heading later on to a within a few weeks to the Boston Celtics training camp. How did that work out?
You know, it was unbelievable. Great experience. Was fortunate enough to get over there and spent 4 days over there. Got to see 5 practices and really intimate setting. Their practice facility is not extremely big, and you were right in the action and learned a lot. Got to converse with Coach Stevens and Isaiah Thomas who I've known for a few years now, and even got to chit chat a little bit with Danny Ainge, who was hanging out. But there was probably a total of each day anywhere between 10 to 15 other coaches that were there. And so it was really, really good. Great experience.
And obviously the Boston Celtics, an iconic franchise.
Right.
And can you get that feeling, Justin, when you're there, that the culture's there, it's always been there. And I wanted to ask you too, Do the players ever come over and introduce themselves, not that they have to, and talk to you on the team when they see a bunch of coaches there watching practice?
Well, couple things. One, obviously the prestigiousness of Boston Celtics and all the NBA championships. I mean, their whole facility, has every banner hung up around the facility. So, I mean, it's like you're walking in there and, you walk downstairs to get to the court and you just you feel the tradition. I mean, it's like walking into, I mean, obviously it's not like walking in the Boston Garden, but it's the closest thing to it. Just what an unbelievable feeling. It kind of, gives you the goosebumps. And then, as far as interaction, one thing I was really, really impressed by was, Coach Stevens, before and after practice, every single day came over, shook everyone's hand that was there. Obviously if it was, someone new, would introduce himself and, I had been there for, 5 practices. So, we conversed and talked a little bit more and, as far as the players go, you're like so close to them. I mean, you're just sitting, right next to them. A few guys would say hi and nod their heads and, acknowledge you. Not too many introductions. I mean, Isaiah came over, first practice and, came over, gave me a hug and, we talked a little bit and, Coach Stevens was right in the middle of I was right in the middle of talking with him when Isaiah came over. So that was kind of, cool little interaction. And, then getting into practice, I mean, it was such a, and I know it's their first, five practices, you know, because they did two-a-days, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then they had a single practice on that Thursday. But just so much spirit, competitiveness. One thing that was really nice to see was the enthusiasm, like kind of like cheesy, but like in a real positive way. I mean, just lots of energy. And then when it came down to compete, I mean, anyone that says NBA guys don't compete or go hard or, you know, really challenge each other, you know, that was not the case at the Celtics practice. I mean, it was, it got heated at many points during practice. You know, there was one possession where there's five NBA guys, you know, on the floor diving for loose ball, and just it was very eye-opening, very, you know, it was awesome. Definitely something that I think I'm going to try to do, every year, try to get out to, you know, some kind of training camp. The NBA, just you learn a lot, and like I said, it was a great experience.
I'm very fortunate in my life and humbled to say this, that one of my great friends and is John Spoelstra, the father of Eric Spoelstra, and you certainly can see a lot of John in Eric, and I work on some things with John, and the way he is attacks things and everything. And my question to you would be, what in your expert opinion, Justin, makes everybody talk about Brad Stevens as probably the best young coach in the NBA and really is a tremendous basketball coach mind and the way he relates to players? What do you glean there that backs that up?
Very even keeled, you know, not too high, not too low, on everything. You know, there was an incident where Marcus Smart and Isaiah, you know, were going at each other, it got close to needing to be separated, he talked to both of them and just, you know, was very, straightforward, but didn't, you know, raise his voice or anything. That, you know, he just reminded them that this isn't about them, and then the drill got over with, or the competition got over with, and you could see him go over and talk, you know, with, you know, each one-on-one. But just there's a lot of respect for Coach Stevens with every single one of the players. I mean, it's like every time he talks, everyone's, you know, got, you know, their eyes glued on him. But you can see that just with him and his interactions with the players, he's extremely close with all of his players, like, you know, very close relationship. That was another thing that was nice to see with Danny Ainge, just, you know, how, I mean, because he was at every practice and he was involved, and, you know, obviously being a GM, he's got to be involved. But you could see he had a pretty close relationship with all the players too. You know, I really loved how Coach Stevens delegated to all his coaches. You know, he let all of them coach. I mean, they would do scrimmages, you know, in the afternoon, and you know, bring in officials, and he'd have his assistants coaching, you know, the green team, and the other assistants coaching the white team, and he just kind of walked back and forth and just would add his input, you know, with both teams. You know, very, very great teacher. They did a lot of 5-on-0 stuff, and, you know, would explain offensive schemes and, you know, early offense or what they're trying to accomplish on the offensive side, and extremely detail oriented with that. And then, you know, same goes for defense. But, you know, well organized, well oiled machine when it comes to practice. I mean, they were extremely efficient with all their time. You know, I think it, with anything, you've got to have that relationship with your players, which he definitely has. You got to have knowledge for the game, which, you know, he definitely has. And then just getting a feel, for, what groups to, you know, mix and match. And, you know, you could kind of see that a little bit with some of the, teams he would put together. But it was you can see why he is one of the best coaches by just, how he carries himself, his knowledge, and, his relationships with his players. Pretty impressive.
Very good. Hey, Justin, let's fast forward this to Logger basketball. What did you glean there that you're going to do without, I don't want you to give any proprietary information, but what did you glean out of this experience that's going to, anytime you learn from anyone, it makes you better and might make you a better coach or make your team better. Kind of go through that.
I think, a lot of things we're going to take from it. I mean, obviously, they're a high ball screen team, and so are we. A lot of actions that they're going to run up ball, that they run up ball screen, we'll incorporate. The other thing I like about their team is they got a lot of tweeners, which we do too. And what I mean by that is, their fours and fives can shoot the three. They can post up, they'll post up, some of their guards, so very, very similar to what we have in our personnel. So that was always nice to see. I think, one of the things that, I really took out of it was the flow of practice, so some of the things that they did with, teaching to, they would like, one of their first practices, they started off doing 5-on-0 and Stevens was introducing a, one day he was introducing a set that they wanted to run, early offensive look. Then they'd get into, their warm up with their trainers. Then they get into, 5-on-0 transition. Then through that 5-on-0 transition, they would, go over the set that they worked on to start practice. And then they would go right into breakdown drills or shooting drills that incorporate the looks that they're going to get with that that set. So just those are most of the things that I really took from it, was the flow of practice, which was really, nice to see. And then just it's honestly, Greg, the biggest thing was it was refreshing to see the competitive spirit. I mean, obviously these guys are in the NBA because, they're competitive and, they want to win, but, just seeing it, up front firsthand was refreshing. It was awesome. You have multimillionaires, getting on the floor and just, competing and going after each other. And, it's the whole, sometimes I think, that some kids have that too cool mentality or don't want to play defense or, and when you see guys that, have a lot of enthusiasm or cheering each other on or sitting in the stands or competing on both sides of the floor, and they're the best in the world. It just, it's a refreshing thing to see, it's exciting.
Very good.
What it led me to, Greg, is that, I bought the NBA league pass today. I mean, I know the Celtics played, they played Philadelphia earlier today. And so I got to watch that game. And, that was the other thing is, I'm a diehard Laker fan, growing up in that area. And then, but going and watching Boston play, it was, one of those things where you're around the team for, five practices, close to 12 to 14 hours, and you kind of see the personalities, you get to see up close. It's like the interest in the team throughout the year, is, definitely going to see, and try to watch as much, Celtics games as I can, just because it was, you were around it for the first five practices. So pretty cool stuff.
Kind of ironic, Justin, that because of my schedule and my desire to see 150, which I will see again this year, college basketball games live, in person, start to finish, I don't have a lot of time to go to NBA games. But the one NBA game I went to in Portland last year was Boston, which was a tremendous game here, ebb and flow and a lot of that. I want to hit on the topic that you talked about that you saw there, Justin, and get your expert opinion. It really bothers me in the game of basketball, and you're talking about high ball screens and everything that there aren't a lot of people that know how to set good screens anymore in basketball. And I'm saying that from, I think, a factual standpoint. It's a real art to set a screen. And especially when you're setting those high ball screens, you can really get your point guard in a lot of trouble if you don't do it right.
Right. You know, it's funny you brought that up too, because that was one, you know, one thing about it that, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, like attention to detail that Stevens had, you know, there wasn't a lot of breakdown instruction on screening, you know, in which, you know, the two things, that was the one offensive thing. So like even screen away from the ball, like there wasn't a lot of breakdowns on angles or, you know, this is how you're supposed to screen, or on ball screens. And then defensively, like I never saw him once, they never once did like a stance drill or talked about proper stance or angles defensively. Now they would talk about angles as far as, you know, fighting over screens or getting through screens or what their strategies were there. But, you know, one of the things I wrote down, you know, like in my notes was just like, that's what it must be like to coach the best, you know, like where at our level, we have to talk about proper angles, you know, and with screening and, you know, how to set up a screen when you're coming off one, or, I mean, those, you know, things are important, you know, defensively, we got to talk about stance and staying low and, you know, how you're supposed to move your feet and angles and all that great stuff. But I guess at that level, or maybe it was just, you know, that practice, I mean, they were setting great screens, they were playing great defense. So, you know, whatever teaching or instruction they, maybe it's behind the scenes, you know, with film, I don't know, but, their attention to detail with screening, both on the ball and away from the ball. And then, you know, obviously defensive stance and angles, there wasn't a lot of teaching when it came to that, which I thought was interesting.
Very interesting. Very good point you made there per usual. I loved listening to what you just had to say. Justin, you've talked before on the program, but we're getting awful close here. You can start practice October 15th. You're going to play a very good pre-league schedule, and then there's always Northwest Conference games the first week in December for the most part. We're getting very, very close. Your excitement level's got to be peaking each day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, like, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, going over and watching practice and, you know, I'm going to try and go see, because I know some Division I schools are getting going now. So I'm going to, you know, probably try to get up to UW and, you know, watch their practice, you know, sometime. But, yeah, when you're this close, I mean, we're less than a week and a half away. You know, I mean, you start really, really getting excited, you know, to get going. And it's exciting too, because, I mean, obviously, you know, we've got a great returners. I mean, we're returning our starting five from our last game of the season. So, you know, that's exciting too. So I'm ready to get going. I was thinking about that before we started the conversation tonight was, next time I talk to, you know, Greg, we'll be 2 weeks into our season, which is pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
So it's getting exciting.
Very good. And it's one of the academically, obviously, Puget Sound's just a wonderful school with a great reputation. There are no bad schools in the Northwest Conference academically. They're all terrific, but what do your new people say about college? And I think our listeners would like to hear that, their comments, and because it's quite a change from high school. I can attest to that.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say the biggest thing that our newcomers talk about is time management. Like, I think when everything's said and done, that's what it all comes down. Yes, academics are harder, you know, than what they're accustomed to either at, you know, junior college level or high school, which means you have to study more. You know, a lot of high school kids, in my opinion, you know, they're on a regimen routine at home. You know, it's like, You go to school from 7:30 to 2:10. You have practice afterwards. You go home. Mom and dad or grandpa and grandma cook you dinner. You have chores around the house. You go to bed, and then you start over the next day. You know, the thing about, you know, your first year in college is you don't have mom, dad, grandpa, or grandma, you know, telling you when to go to bed, you know, when to eat, when you need to get up. So I think, you know, the responsibility piece right away and then understanding time, you know, I mean, it's, that's the biggest thing I see. It's like, hey, oh, I've got, 60 pages to read by, in a week. I don't need to read tonight. I'm going to play video games and stay up a little bit later. And then the next night, let's just put it off. I still got, five more days, and all that starts building up. And then it's procrastination, and then it's cramming, and then it's, lack of sleep, and, all those things. And all that can really, affect you as a student athlete. Because we're talking strictly about academics right now, but there's the whole, basketball piece too, or athletic piece too. So I think the biggest advice I give to, all of our incoming, players is, you got to learn to manage your time. And then with that is just do a little bit every day. So, if you've got a 60-page paper is doing a week, hey, you got to read 8 to 12 pages a day. Just do a little bit a day. And if you can do that, in your classes, you're usually not, it's not that it's going to put you ahead, but it's not going to do is put you in a position where you're cramming in the end, and now you're losing sleep or, you're not eating well. And then that's going to take away from your performance, on the court, on the field, in the pool, whatever, athletic, whatever athletic event you're participating in. So manage your time and do a little bit every day. And I think if you can do that, at our level, which every school in our conference is very good academically, you're going to be in good shape.
Do you like for your players to know the practice schedule? And along with that, do you practice in the afternoon? Do you occasionally like to practice in the morning? I know court time is always a factor with a lot of activities going on, but do you lay out the practice schedule, or do you kind of like to surprise the players occasionally?
It's funny you bring that up because I think year in and year out it kind of changes. Like I think for this year, we're not gonna let the guys see the practice schedule. I just think that we've got enough returners where they'll get the flow of the practice and I want them to be on their toes and be ready to go. Now with that being said, we're not gonna be like, hey, we're gonna we'll let them know if this is going to be a long one today, if we're going to go 2.5 hours or if this is going to be a short one. But, we really, I think with this group, we don't need to show them the practice schedule. As far as practice times go, and I think this is very similar to anyone in our conference, we don't make our practice schedule until we know what our class schedule looks like. This year, I think we only have maybe 2 or 3 6 a.m. practices, where in years in the past we've had maybe 1 or 2 a week, just depending on what the class schedule looks like. I think that's something that's, a little different, than high school. Obviously, high school, it's right after school. You've got, 3 to 5, da, da, da. I mean, we've got guys that are in lab till 6 p.m., so we might have to start practice on, say, Wednesday at 6:30. I was talking to one of our junior college players, he called me and he was getting ready to register and he's like, hey coach, when's practice? And I said, just get your schedule done and then we'll worry about practice. And that was kind of like an eye opener because, where he was at, it was like, okay, well, practice was set from this time. And then I had to do my schedule around that, where we're kind of the opposite where, hey, it's, we want you to get the classes you need to take, you know, and then we'll work our schedule, you know, around your class schedule. So I think this year, you know, we're going to be, like I said, I think total for the whole season thus far, at least for the first semester, I think we only have maybe two 6 a.m. practices, and then everything else is, you know, we've got really good times. So, you know, the first, you know, few weeks of the season, you know, actually the first about month, you know, it's tough because obviously women's volleyball is going on. We have women's basketball and then we have men's basketball. And then, you know, with our facility, it's, you know, we really only got one main court. So, you know, you're looking at 6 hours that, you know, volleyball going for 2 hours, women's basketball going for 2 hours, men's basketball going for 2 hours, you know, but we work so well together as far as Coach Massey and Coach Payne and myself. And, you know, we're definitely out to help each other out and make things fair as possible, you know, but there'll be some times where, you know, we'll be getting out a practice around 9:30, 10, you know, just depending on the schedule. And, you know, our university is awesome because, you know, they'll keep the, you know, keep the sub open, which is our cafeteria, and, you know, to make sure our student athletes get, you know, food and all that great stuff. So it changes year in and year out. But like I said, it all is really just based off of, you know, the student athlete and, you know, what classes are taken. And then, you know, we'll make the schedule accordingly.
Very good. Hey, Justin, in conclusion tonight, we've got about 3 minutes left. It's October 4th. You haven't had an official practice yet, but in your own expert words, and you're a very talented basketball coach, that's why I love talking to you, and a very nice person beyond that. How are you feeling about this 16-17 edition? And I know you've mentioned on the shows that your starting lineup from your last game is back, but how are you feeling overall about things, and what are you a little bit worried about?
I'm feeling great. You know, I think, like I said, I think experience is a great thing. You know, so anytime, you know, I mean, I remember last year at this time, it's like, okay, well, we got some new guys, you know, we're going to have to really, you know, start off slow as far as teaching, you know, and really, you know, breaking down the fundamentals. Where this year, I think with how many returners we have and how much experience, they're going to know the drill, which allows them to also teach our new guys the drill. You know, so it's a great, you know, and that goes to show you just our leadership with our guys. But, you know, it's a great tool when you've got everyone that, you know, understands what's going on as far as returners go, that they can now teach to the newcomers. You know, I think, you know, heading in, you got to feel great. You know, and you know, we're excited about our team. I would say the biggest worry, which I think is with anyone, is just injuries. I mean, you know, you don't want key guys to go down. Now, it's nice to have some depth, which we have this year. But, you know, I mean, trying to keep the guys healthy while maintaining a competitive spirit and, you know, going hard. I mean, I think, you know, always something that you worry about. But, you know, fortunately for us, we've, you know, our guys are extremely, you know, responsible when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to, you know, getting in the training room and, you know, getting those ice baths in and getting treatment and doing all that, you know, and it's nice to have, you know, we've kind of set the tone with the culture with that. So, you know, there's going to be bumps and bruises throughout the year. It's a long year. It's a grind, but, you know, trying to avoid any kind of serious injury, I think, is always, you know, something that all coaches, you know, worry about and worry about early.
Very good. Great show tonight, per usual, Justin. You bring it every month. We'll talk to you again at the end of November. Yeah. No, first. What am I saying? End of
first November.
First Tuesday of November. Yes, first Tuesday of November, which I think will probably be election night. So there'll be a lot of talk about that night. Yeah, I think it definitely is. But we'll be talking basketball and politics. But have a great month, and we'll catch up with you soon. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Great info, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg. You have a great month, and we'll talk soon.
You betcha. That's Justin Lutt, the head men's basketball coach at Puget Sound, a member of the Northwest Conference and a Division III conference. Justin is fabulous. He'll be back the first Tuesday in November. I know people love listening to him, so there, mark it down. Good night, everyone, and don't forget to make your free throws and have a great week, please.